First John. First John chapter 4, commencing to read the word of God from the verse 7 through to the end of the chapter, which is verse 21. First John chapter 4, commencing to read God's word at verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for God, love is from God. And whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. And this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us and his love is perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and testify that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. So we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. God is love, and whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. By this is love perfected with us, so that we may have confidence for the day of judgment, because as he is, so also are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not been perfected in love. We love because he first loved us. If anyone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he's a liar. For he does not love his brother whom he has seen. Sorry, let me read that again. If anyone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have from God: whoever loves God must also love his brother. We have been considering together in recent weeks a very simple but yet important fact, that whatever comes into our minds when we consider God has a profound impact upon our lives. How we view God shapes the way we perceive the world around us. It shapes our relationships. It shapes our attitude to work, to recreation, to our money, to the Sabbath day. Everything in our lives is affected deeply by our view of God. And we've seen that progressively as we have worked through the varying characteristics or attributes of God during recent weeks. I think that one of the things that affects us most, or can affect us most in our lives, is our view of God and love. As I have grown older in my own life, and thought about my life, and thought about the lives of those around me, both in my family and in this congregation, as I have read various books and articles, as I've observed the world within the limitations of my own finite mind. I think that one of the deepest rooted issues that we have as human beings, and one of the problems that causes us most disturbance in our life, is this fact of love. Am I loved? Am I loved? I think that many, many, many of the social issues and ills that our society experiences on a daily basis arise from the fact that many in our culture do not understand or do not appreciate or do not feel that they are loved. I think many of the reactions that children have in their daily lives, the issues that they present at school, you can trace those back to whatever is going on in the home. It's well documented that where there are issues in a home, that those issues are not simply merely affecting the home. They affect all those in the home, and they affect, in particular, the children in the home. And those issues present themselves in various ways. In the classroom, where a child does not feel secure and loved and cherished, where the child is fending for itself, living by its wits, as it were, in the absence of parental love, that then manifests itself in many behavioural issues, both at school and out with school. And what's true of the child is true of the adult as well. Many people live dysfunctional lives because they don't apprehend the reality of love. It's a deep, deep rooted reality in our lives. And it's not simply something that is confined to those who are not believers in Jesus Christ. We are all complex people. We all have many pressures on our lives. We all have many strains upon us. Many emotional constraints. We all address issues in different ways. And I believe that our view of God and our view of God as one who is love is of critical importance to us. Because many of the behavioral issues in our lives, and let's be honest, we can just behave as badly as anyone else. Many of the thought provoking issues in our lives, and let's be honest, our thoughts can be as dire as anyone else. Do they not arise because of a reaction within us at a feeling of not being loved? This lostness, this sense of being isolated. And you can be isolated within a family. You can be isolated in a marriage. It's not just the single people in society who are isolated. Some of the most isolated people in our community are in marriages and have families around them. And yet mentally and emotionally, they feel as though they are completely isolated. And I believe that a clearly understood and a clearly framed grasp of the fact that God is love is really, really important to us. In 1 John we read that God is love, verse 8. We read it again in verse 16, that God is love. He's underscoring it. He's letting us know that God is love. But it's important that we understand what he's not saying. John is not saying that God is simply the source of love. He's not saying that God is simply the one who produces love. It's not simply that God is the originator of love or the creator of love. God is a source of love, yes, but he's more than that. We read and sung in Psalm 104 that the earth is the Lord's. That God has created the earth and everything in it. We saw that last Lord's Day when we considered that God is good. So there's nothing that we can feel or touch or hear or smell that doesn't come from God. Everything that we have and are in communion with in our day-to-day lives comes from God. But what John is saying is more than that. He's not simply saying that God simply has produced love, like he has produced the heavens and the earth. He's not simply just saying that he is the source or root of love, like he is the source of all creation or the originator of all life. When John says that God is love, he's stating that God in his very essence, in his very being, is love itself. It's not just that God is loving. That's true. He's saying that God himself is love. If I can put it in very crass and unbiblical terms, if you cut God, he would have bled love. Because that's what he is. It's a necessity of his being. It's a constituent of who he is. So we cannot think about God and not think about love. And we need to think about that. We need to think about that. We need to understand that love is real. Because today in our culture and society, the word love has been so abused and misused that it no longer has that purity of meaning that ties it clearly to God. All sorts of feelings and our emotions are tied into the word love. And that's not unreasonable in a sense, because we as human beings crave love. We've been created in the image of God to be loved. And it's natural that we would seek love. And the fact that many do not seek it in God means that they have to seek it elsewhere. That's why you get so many songs sung about love. It's not that people are crying for something that's not real. It is real. They may be just crying and looking for it in the wrong place. It is an overflow of the desire of humanity to be loved, that there are all these manifestations, as it were, and uses of the word love. There's nothing wrong in societies wanting to be loved. The issue is that they're seeking that love in the wrong place. And what is true for society can be true for you and I. We can know God. We can believe in God. But it's really important that we understand that this love of God is real. It is genuine. Because God is real and God is true. But how do we know that it's true? How can we know that it's real? We know it's real because Jesus Christ came to the world. That's how we know it's real. The fact of God's love is indisputable. And someone may say, well, that's okay, I accept that it's true, but I can't see God. God's invisible, and if I want to understand what love is in reality, it's not much help to tell me that the one who is love is invisible. How is that going to help me? In 1 John chapter 4, verse 9, we read, "In this the love of God was made manifest, was revealed, was clearly shown among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him." John is saying, if you want to know about love, what you need to do is look at the life and the death of Jesus Christ. For in the life and in the death of Jesus Christ, we have the purest, clearest, simplest manifestation of love that the world has ever or shall ever experience. God is love. That's a fact. How do we know that that fact is true? Because God sent his one and only Son into the earth 2,000 years ago. That's how God says we can know that love is true. When you're feeling lonely and when you're feeling isolated and when you feel that nobody is understanding you and when you feel as though you're in a situation where you're completely on your own, and the human beings around you are not getting it. They're not getting it. Your husband's not getting it. Your wife's not getting it. Your children are not getting it. Your best friends are only partially getting it. They're all trying to be sympathetic, but they're not getting it. And you want to feel the reality of real love. Real, clear, beautiful love. When you want to be in that place where you know that love is real and all the concerns of your heart can be dealt with, then what you have to do is not put on a song about love on the CD. It's not to pick up a book that speaks about love. It's not to look for a gift that will demonstrate that someone loves you. What you really, really need to do is to turn to the gospel of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and read that Jesus Christ came into the earth. And then you need to tell yourself, there I know that God is real. I know he's real. and that I know his love is real. I may not feel it at this moment in time, but it's real. And then you turn to the closing chapters of those Gospels and you read about his death. That is the death of the one and only Son. And how he laid down his life for us. And how the Father gave him up to be the propitiation for our sins. Propitiation is an Old Testament word. It was used of the victim on whom the anger of God was poured out. And yes, God is both love and he is angry. As we shall see next week, that the wrath and just anger of God actually underscores his love. It doesn't conflict with it. All that was due to the victim because of God's holy wrath was poured out upon them. And God sent his only Son into the world. And John tells us this is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation, to bear the wrath of the holy God for our sins. All the wrath of God that was due to his elect people for their sins was poured out like a terrible flood upon the body, mind, and soul of Jesus Christ. And he became a horrible, accursed thing. And the reason why the perfect Son of God, who knew no sin, became an accursed thing on the cross. The reason why the beautiful Lord Jesus Christ, in all his tenderness, in all his winsomeness, became a thing that men could not even fix his eyes upon, was because of the holy, just wrath of God being poured out upon him. And that to pay the penalty due to us for our sin. That is love. That is love. That is love. Love. Love is the death of Jesus for sins he did not commit, so that we who committed sins could be in that place where he came from. Is it any wonder that John says in the previous chapter, chapter 3, see what manner of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God, and so we are. Children of God, and so we are. This is love. The revelation of Jesus Christ. The love of God. And yet we read it, and it's just about the death of Jesus again. Talking about the death of Jesus. Give me something that's concrete. Give me something that's real. Give me something that's tangible. Give me something that I can actually latch on to whenever I'm in a difficult situation and I don't feel loved. Give me something that will actually make me feel better. How can we hear or think of anything more concrete, more tangible, more sobering than the death of Jesus Christ? And how can we consider anything more concrete, more sobering, more tangible, that was all due to the love of God? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Are we dysfunctional as Christians at times? Are we disturbed as believers on occasions? Are we inconsistent in the living of our lives because we do not comprehend the magnitude with which we are loved? When we moan and yearn and complain about incidentals in our lives, something that is of absolutely no consequence at all. It's astonishing at times how irate and worked up we can get over something that is of no consequence. And how we can withdraw into ourselves, and how we can become so enmeshed in our own deceitful attitudes and minds and hearts, and how we can become so twisted, and how we can become so involatile towards other people. And we're crying out to be loved. We want to be loved. We want someone to come and put their arms around us. We want someone to tell us it's okay. And all we need to do is to actually stop and think that love is not simply a feeling. It has the product of feeling within it. But what love is emotional response to the reality of the death of Jesus at Calvary, and that this is love, that this is a manifestation of love. And how can we say to God, God, you don't love me, you don't love me, when God sent his only Son to die on a cross for my eternal salvation? How dare we say to God, you don't love me, or these people don't love me? How can we say that other people who have been born of the Spirit of God don't love me whenever they are purchased by the very blood of the Son of God, whose life was smashed on a cross, and that the case because of the love of God? What in our minds is going on when we say, I'm not loved, or they don't love me? Does that say to us that we don't understand what the Scripture says? In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent us to be Son to be the propitiation for our sins. This is love. This is the reality of it. So we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. We've come to know and believe the love that God has for us. So I would encourage you to think about the fact that God is not merely the source of love, but that he is love. And that the reality of that love is manifest in the giving of a Son. And whenever you're in a vulnerable place and you need that sense of love, allow your mind and heart to go to the life of Jesus and to the cross, and to dwell on the reality of that, and in dwelling on the reality of that, to then to speak to your soul and say, I am loved. I am loved in an astonishing way. I am loved in a remarkable way. I am loved in an unspeakable way. I am loved by God who has no bounds, has no limits, and has no constraints. I am loved by the God who gave up his own Son that I might live for all eternity. How I am loved. How I am loved. How much I am loved. Please give up the godless, mindless, seeking after that which does not exist, and lay hold of that which you already know to be true. Don't seek after the empty, worthless ways of the world. Rest your mind on the doctrine of the truth of Jesus Christ. Rest your hearts in the refuge of his death and resurrection. Speak to God of the magnitude of his love for you. And then, out of that, live your life for his glory. Amen.